Welcome to the Ross, Al and Luke show. We're Aussie blokes, we're dads, and we're entrepreneurs. Between us, we've made a lot of mistakes and learned a few things about life, love, relationships, and business. And we're here to share those with you. You may get three different perspectives, or you may get one universal agreement. But whatever you take away from today, you can be guaranteed we enjoyed delivering it to you. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Ross. Go.
Ross, how are you?
Well,
Yeah, good. Nearly the end of the year. Someone said it's nearly 8 weeks till Christmas.
Yep.
Yeah, so
less.
It's long. It's been a long year, right? Well, I'm tired. I'm just putting it out there.
Just as many days as the year before, but sure.
Yeah, but it just feels
less than a leap year.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, you're right. Okay, I'll just say, look, I feel tired. That's what I should have said. And it must be the end of the year.
Now, so. Is it a long year or a big year? Like, have you been really big pushing year. Yourself?
Yes, so big year in growth. Yeah. Business-wise, been good. Like, no complaints there. But yeah, probably growth, personally. And kids.
God love them.
Yeah.
I love them.
Good. Someone has to. That's what...
Yeah.
I've got one who just turned 18, Monday night. Huge.
Wow.
Get old quick, yeah?
It's interesting. When I have thought back, I thought, 18 years. I mean, if I think back, there's been a lot of experiences in that time.
Yeah.
So it's all how we perceive it, isn't it?
It is.
But it's awesome. I mean, I did a post on his wall for him. Don't know how many people saw that, but that was my sort of card, if you like, birthday card. And yeah, I found him a great leader over the years.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool.
Very cool.
Nice. So yeah, that comment there about leader, and I guess we're talking about family. We're also talking about leadership and talking about business and life and being a leader. I actually believe that everybody's a leader. Now, every single person doesn't need to have that belief, but I believe that we are.
Agreed.
Even the person that says I'm not a leader is in that moment creating some kind of intentional following. Hey, it's okay not to be a leader. And they're leading people to not be the leader in an environment. I'm not a leader. Well, you are in everything that you do. If you do something, you're saying that it's okay to do that thing.
Yeah.
If you don't say no to someone, your leadership is for them to do that thing. Like, if they're going to do something that's not right for them and you don't stop them, then you're actually, you're part of the leadership to encourage them to do that.
So today, are we talking about leadership, like a coach of a team, or, a leader in a business, leader in a family, or a leader of yourself?
Yes.
What are the differences? That's what interests me. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So what are they?
Do there need to be differences?
That's what we're here to discuss. Because.
My favorite example right now is Donald Trump. Yeah. Is he a leader?
He's the elected leader, right? Like, of the.
So is the people president elect?
Yeah.
So is he a leader?
I'm going to say yes. Certainly to one person that got arrested for. I think he groped a woman on the train or something.
Yeah.
And he got arrested for that. And his response to when he got charged for it was Donald Trump said it was okay. So he's certainly leading that person.
Smart. Wow. Smart guy, because there's a lot of people going to jump all over that. Be a minor celebrity as well.
Yeah.
So he's absolutely a leader. And this is... not only is he a leader, he is the leader that all of us chose. All of us. All of us have an impact on everything that happens on this planet, however big or small, and we all chose him. And I love listening to people go off about Donald Trump, and I think, what do you got going on about for yourself?
Yeah.
You want to pin it all on that donkey?
Yeah. Well, some would say, though, that he's, the leaders that are put up as, leaders of the countries are, in essence, manufactured by a controlling entity, which may be financial or that's and again the, I'm not going to go down that
that's the story we all subscribe skeptic, to
and they're all very upset that that's, he got in instead of who they wanted
in a set yeah but in a sense so they're saying so if he wanted to call a war or a massive financial call like when Kevin Rudd what was he going to do? He was going to do something stupid, double the GST, or he's going to do something stupid that we're going to hit the miners.
Okay.
Oh. They were just going to introduce a super profits tax.
Billions of dollars. Well, guess what happened to him?
Mm.
He just got backdoored. That was it. He was out. And people said, oh, but the political party did that. You know, look a bit deeper. Mm-hmm. No money talks.
So hear what you're saying and not saying.
Potentially.
Allegedly. I agree that power, influence, all those things are involved. Absolutely.
Just
however,
kind of funny, right?
However, if we pick another leader of America
at
one time, Martin Luther King, did he play that game?
Oh, I don't know enough about the history, but
He didn't form a party and get funding and lobby groups. And,
no.
So he didn't play that game.
Different,
He still led massive change both in the US and around the world. Now, he got shot for being that person as well, potentially.
Yeah, right,
However, I'm agreeing with Ross. Donald Trump is a leader, and not only that, he earned the right to be there by whatever the game is. He actually did.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
And
absolutely,
the point that people are bitter because they didn't earn that right is absolutely true.
Well, I agree, like you're right. He within the arena that they played in, he
and unfortunately,
he did.
It's their fault that he got in.
Yeah.
So the people that hate it the most are the ones that are as at fault as everybody else.
So,
and so they hate themselves as much as anybody else.
So, but are these
and that's where we blame other people in a big way.
Yep.
I've noticed that even in myself, I've noticed how I felt about something, and then afterwards I've reflected and I'm like, that seemed a bit kind of over the top. Why was that? And then I've just realized that it was me, and I do not want to think that I'm, we don't want to think that we're not perfect, we're not amazing, we're not all these other things. The reality is we're not. Like, put your hand up if you know someone who's perfect. That's right. There is no one that's perfect. So,
By the way, if you're listening to this, get your hand up. Put it down, dickhead.
Yeah. We all just put ours down. So, all good.
Putting your hand up was the first thing to show that you're not perfect. So, there's this... Inside of that, there's none of us are perfect. There's an opportunity for us all to grow and... the moment we get angry and upset about something, for what purpose? Like, where inside ourselves? And that's what we were talking about in the last episode as well. Like, we see someone that's angry. How are we taking responsibility for that? How about we just bring that person that's love? Hey, that person's angry. Well, they don't need to be angry. Let's bring them something else. Let's bring them another energy.
Yeah. So just as a quick round the room, like, what's your version of a leader? Like, what attributes does a person, on face value that you'd see as a leader, even in a, group, team, business environment? Like, what sort of things do you...
Look, there's probably a lot of things.
Just as a basic, maybe sort of 5 or 6 points.
I can give you one. I'd prefer to that one.
Yeah, okay. Well, but is there any more? Like, I've got my definition of it. I just get some perspective.
It's like everything. There's infinite perspectives.
Yeah.
I think that, for me, the hallmark of a leader is someone who's prepared to make a decision when no one else is prepared to make a decision.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Mine would actually suggest what he's saying. My one thing would be 100% ownership.
Yeah.
Nice. Like it.
Which would suggest what you were saying there, Al. Yeah.
More holistic, yep.
Yeah, I'd say that,
100% ownership. And then you're a leader of self, you're a leader of other, you're like, hey, I own this. Like, I'm going to take responsibility, I'm going to do something about it.
No matter what's happening around me.
Yep.
I like that, I might steal that now, that's mine
but
now.
Do we though? But that's the thing, do we? Do we have to take 100% responsibility of everything?
Don't have to.
You don't have to do anything.
That's leadership though.
But is it?
Well, we...
That's my question.
Sounds like we're in furious agreement. So what's the challenge?
Yeah. Oh, I just...
Remember what Ross said before.
Yep.
The leader chooses. I'm either in or I'm not.
Yeah.
You don't have to. I take responsibility or I don't.
Yeah.
It's still leadership.
It 100% is,
ownership is not 100% ownership of everything.
No.
It's 100% ownership of the decisions that we make and the actions we take.
Yeah. But do we have to own if a person's done something wrong by us and it affects the company? Do we have to own that?
Would you want to be in charge of that? So the moment we don't take 100% ownership, and the book is called Extreme Ownership, I actually don't think it's that extreme.
Yeah.
I actually don't think it's that extreme. I think it's a great place to stand to have power over everything in your life.
Yeah.
That's it. Because the moment we don't take ownership, we give our power to that other thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't take ownership for what an employee did, and then you've given your power to that employee. It's out of your hands now. You go, oh, it was the weather. Great. Now the weather's got your power. Oh, it was the GFC. Great. Now the GFC's got your power. Oh, that, you know, that person didn't get me the report on time. Great. Now that other person's got your power.
But that's the dichotomy we're talking about, not having a vested interest, you know, earlier. And that's the approach. Because I've tried both approaches.
And following this analogy, if we have a vested interest and we aware and we become aware that we have a vested interest, the leader says, oh, I didn't think I had a vested interest, and I do. Now what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Because again, I own this. I didn't realize I had a vested interest. Now I realize I do. What am I going to do next?
Hmm.
That's the leader. Yeah. Not, I didn't realize it. Now I do. Fuck them. Or, you know, it's their problem. Yeah. Or, you know, it's like, now that's leadership too. I'm going
to
put it back on.
Yeah, there's many forms of leadership. Yeah, that's the thing, to get a bit of a perspective of everyone's version of it, you know.
However, I own the fact that I'm putting it back on them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not a victim in that. I'm not.
Well, that's what I mean by the vested interest. Yeah, okay. That makes it. Yeah, that's a good point.
So let's momentarily, and I don't want to talk about it too much, but just as an example, let's go back and talk about, you know, who's running America.
Yeah.
I am completely and entirely 100% responsible for that. Or not, as I choose. But if I choose not to, I'm also responsible for the outcome.
Yeah.
I either choose to do something about it or I don't. Global hunger. I either choose to do something about it or I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm responsible for the outcome of that. If nothing gets done about global hunger, it's my fault for not doing something about it.
Yeah. But to what point, I suppose, do we take all of that on? Our fault, our responsibility.
That's really, I'm glad you used that word fault, because fault is completely got nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
And that's where everybody got stuck.
Mm.
Everybody I've ever noticed that has struggled with this concept has got those two linked together. Fault or blame and ownership or responsibility.
Mm.
They are not the same thing. And I've had many conversations with people where they're like, where I've said, oh, you know, if you want to change this, you need to own it. And they go, oh, it's not my fault. I never said fault.
Mm-hmm.
I never said fault. It is not your fault. It is not anybody's fault. It is just what it is. It is just what it is. That's it. No are one's
you,
to blame right
are
now.
Are you happy with it, or do you want to change it?
Yeah.
Because if you want to change it, someone's got to own that.
Yeah. Well, it's happened. Yeah, it's happened. And, you know, it's about either moving forward or, you know, or blaming somebody else, where, you know, the language like fault comes into it. Yeah.
So, and that's where the law comes in, and they like to blame someone, and someone's got to be at fault for it and got to get in trouble for it, instead of like, hey, you know, someone messed up and did something that was really bad, and we could even have an entire conversation potentially about crime. Yeah. I think the way crime's handled is horrid. You know, you've got somebody who their childhood was probably horrific. You know, they could have been beaten up by family members. That may not be the case, but...
But we don't even have to go that deep.
Yeah.
I realise you're painting an extreme example to illustrate it. It's just, at the end of the day, the setup is that the three universal needs...
Yep.
Society will not meet those.
No, well, certainly not now. It doesn't know how to. Yep.
Well, okay, I'm talking specifically about now. Society will not meet those.
Yep.
For whatever reason. Will not. However, society will punish, and they will actually punish people who don't have those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So society refuses to provide it. Again, refuses
to. It's a nice way of doing it. Yeah.
Refuses to provide it.
Yeah.
However, will punish when that lack leads to something that society doesn't like.
Mm.
So I have a conversation
instead with people, of providing it for that person. I'm really sorry that your life has been, you've been treated so badly through life that you felt necessary to do that.
Or,
that's horrible. Where did we mess up as a society?
Or your life
where
shit,
we let you down?
What are you going to do about it? I'll help you, but what are you going to do? Whatever the conversation is.
Yeah.
Compassion can come in different forms. It's just, so we, and this is the this is actually a fundamental problem that I have with everything that we do, everything that we are.
Yeah.
And I am going to do something about it. I am doing something about it. And that is that,
and likewise,
that we we are not wired for the root. I'll use the word cause, the root cause of things. We're wired for the symptom. We're always treating symptoms.
Yeah,
we're almost always treating symptoms, almost never going to the cause.
Yeah,
and treating symptoms, we know. You know, nature tells us you treat symptoms, eventually things rot, drop off, die, whatever.
Yeah, sort of
you have to get to the root.
Hmm. Yeah. So, you're right.
And That starts with 100% responsibility.
Yeah.
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 And even if, let's assume that you were a really bad leader and you're like, well, how do I become a really good leader? You've just told me to take 100%, you know, responsibility for it. I just want to know how to be a good leader. Well, your first thing you need to do is take 100% responsibility for it before you can do anything.
Yeah.
The moment you own it, you can start to impact it. The moment you go, oh, now I get it. I'm responsible for it. Therefore, it's entirely up to me to become a good leader. Yes,
bingo.
That's right.
Bingo.
You're not looking for a trick. You're not looking for a skill. You need to own it. You need to own the result that your team are producing. So many managers or, you know, team leaders want to get me in to fix someone in their team. This person needs fixing. You're right. They do need fixing. And what are you and I going to do together to make that happen? What are we going to help you with so that you can give that person what they need?
Yeah.
Because it's not that person's fault. You need to take ownership. You're not owning it, and that's why you have the results you've got. You're blaming, you're pointing the finger. You're not owning it and fixing it.
Yeah, and that comes down to connection too. My definition of leadership is leading by example. It's a really simple one, yeah? So I expect, you know, a guy to be honest, integral, doing the things that are visually that, you know, you can see. So if a guy is a personal trainer, I want to see that the guy's fit and he looks after himself. I'm going to understand that, you know, you can see him out at the pub having a counter meal and a few beers. He's not the end of the world, you know, but... You know, you want to see those kinds of people, you know, that are living that life, you know, as a leader. But
you've just illustrated a really cool point. You're saying it's okay for a personal trainer to be in the pub having a can of meal in a few beers. There'll be other people who say that's not acceptable.
No, that's right. Trainer. Yeah, because I understand the seasons in life, the ebbs and flows, the ups and downs. Yeah.
Well, it's just a choice. Yeah. It's actually just a choice. Yeah. Without being rude, you don't understand anything. You've just made a choice that that's okay.
Yeah.
While someone else says, no, it's not.
Of course, yeah.
A religious person, a law-abiding Muslim says, you don't drink. Well, why does the rest of the world disagree with that?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Why does the other God tell me it's okay?
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. And it's all about our experience of it. And you'd never want to pass, I don't personally want to pass judgment on anyone, but... You know, I've been to cycle classes where I'm like, you know, the lady was heavily overweight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's barking orders, cycle harder. I'm like, well, you fucking cycle harder.
Mm-hmm.
The day I see you cycle harder than me, you win. Yeah. Yeah? And I don't cycle.
I'll follow you anywhere. Yeah,
like, come on, man.
Yeah.
And that's cool. People, and I'm not prejudiced, like, against fat people or anything like that. But if you're going to do something, just do it. That's what I'm saying by lead by example. And, you know,
it's interesting because some people who are overweight, because they love things like food, food's a really big thing for them. Doesn't mean they're not fit.
There were two
guys that I met many, many years ago, and both of them were martial artists. I looked at the both of them and I'm like, they are fat. There's no way they're going to be able to do anything. Like, and then both of them did kicks above their head. And I'm like, How on earth did you do that? Yeah. How on earth did you move that belly out of the way to get that leg up that high? Yeah. I was blown away by what they could do.
Ross was still right, though. He just said, you do it. That's what he said. He said,
that's right.
Don't bark orders, do it. And I've been to spin classes where the dude is on the bike.
Yeah.
So he's doing what we're doing. Yeah. And he's talking, which I know is hard to do both.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. That's the model.
That's the, totally. Yeah, that's the leadership.
And I actually think it fits with what we're saying.
Yes.
Mm.
What Ross said that I now also share ownership of.
Yeah. And Ross clearly shot me down to my blindness that, you know.
Not at all.
Large people can be fit too. Of course they can, man, you know.
You were right, though. Yeah, show us.
Yeah.
Now you're all talk. Show us.
Yeah, fucking show us, you know. Yeah. And I don't.
That was
actually
mostly for our audience.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah. No, I understand.
It would actually be inspirational if she was a damn good writer. Because it'd be like, actually, so you can eat a lot and still be fit.
Yeah. But she might not eat a lot. She might have a disorder. She might not be able to, you know. So that's, for me, I'm just passing judgment, like the trainer down in the pub, you know, eating a Palmer, and one of his people goes, oh, look, he eats that kind of stuff. And he's telling us to eat like that. So, look, my blindness not to ask more about that person. But, again, that's what I expect from a leader, you know, people that are going to go above and beyond, do the extra things that need to be done, help others when they're down. You know, these are all little things. And for me, comes back to just human connection as a leader. You don't have nothing else. If you can have that connection with somebody, and this is just my perspective on it, that's all that matters. And I suppose that's what I was torn apart with extreme ownership, because I love it. I nearly went over to the States and did his week course. I was going to spend time with him. Dump 15 grand and go and hang out with Jocko.
Yeah.
And he was just going to pummel me every morning at 5 a.m. to do burpees and squats and shit, which I love now. But then something said no, and I went and worked somewhere else with a bit more sort of three principle mindfulness, and it kind of changed my perspective. And now I watched a video with Jocko, who's a 6 foot gorilla, on a TED talk with my 6 year old, because she loves Jocko, and she goes, "Dad, he looks really angry, but he's just passionate." Interesting. And then she was watching. 20 minutes later, she's still watching. She's going, "Gee, he really loves what he does, doesn't he? Because he loves to inspire people."
Yeah.
And make them better.
Yeah.
And it is. It's accountability. It's responsibility. It is taking ownership. But don't forget the soft side and the human connection.
Well, the word extreme
for me is really, it sells a book, right?
Well, exactly. And again, if we look at nature, anything that's extreme is usually not to the benefit of all of us. And it's usually a correction of something else that's extreme.
Yes.
You know? And so
he's making a point.
It's a marketing word. And so, however, he meant it. Because everything you just described, you show me a holistic leader and I guarantee you they don't do that shit.
So the what you're talking about here with the heart space, and so much of what we tie in, it goes back to the previous episode. So if you haven't listened to the previous episode yet, go listen to that, because that's about, you know, the human connection. And this ownership that we take, when you're like, well, how do I get the best results for the person in front of me? Maybe it is just the heart space. Maybe it is caring for that person. Yeah. It's not being the drill sergeant for this person right now. Maybe for you to get the result that you want with this person is to bring that heart space. Maybe that's what it is.
So you're saying the deck of cards, say, of leadership, right? We all need to have them. I've been in a few of those, you know. You're saying maybe potentially we need to learn a bit of everything and pull it out when we need it, like a drill sergeant, heart space, you know, being organized, taking responsibility.
And you've got to learn what those are.
The point I was making earlier, so the heart space, I feel, isn't always.
For me too,
As people use the term tough love. It doesn't mean there's no heart. It just means that it's not cuddly and soft. It's harder. So my point about warfare and training people for that is it's not from heart space.
Yeah.
It's never going. I'm not saying the team can't look after each other. However, if they're trying to kill the guy on the other side, then that's extreme. Again, we're talking about an extreme.
It's holistic. Fight or flight.
It's not holistic.
Yeah.
And so it's, to me, even being prepared to go to war is not leadership. That's to me.
Yeah.
Okay, my version of leadership does not include warfare. It doesn't include deliberately killing anybody.
Yeah.
However impractical that sounds.
No, it's just a different way to look at it. Yeah.
So there's so much that I really want to get into depth wise with with the people. So this heart space is really important for some people. And one of the, and I'm just going to, the next couple of episodes are going to be that. I'm just going to make that happen. So so look forward to the next couple of episodes. They will be the 8 levels of human potential.
Awesome.
Now, sometimes the heart space is tough love. Like, it really is putting somebody into a place where if you're coming from a really gentle, loving space and they're going to get upset and you're going to want to rescue them, you're not going to be able to serve that person. Sometimes you actually need to be, it has to be tough love. That's the only way to go. And that's for a lot of people on the planet. A massive number of people on this planet need tough love to get out of where they are. Like, the way their life is right now that they're complaining about, they need tough love to get real about it and to get their finger out of their ass and do something about it.
And that applies to self-leadership.
Absolutely. You got tough love on yourself, it's got to start there. But it's but you're going to need to do that with love, because if you do it any other way, they cannot step into that space with confidence. It will be, they will be angry and resentful about it, and they will go, F you, I'm not going to step into that space. They'll actually do the opposite. They'll go away from it. They need to step into a space that's uncomfortable a lot of the time to make progress in life. You know, if we say we want to get fit and we say we want to get fit and we make excuses and everything else, at the end of the day, we actually need to get uncomfortable and get out there and do that, no matter what that experience is like for us. If you want to get fit, the only way to do it is to go and take the exercise. So to get someone to move to that space is generally not done with love.
And to couple with that, it's quite often having to have a good look on the inside, yeah?
If it's for self,
that's where the uncomfortable feelings might be, to have a good look, because someone explained to me that nothing changes until someone has a true insight. So I could tell someone to change. Yeah. I could show them a video on what will happen if you don't change and what will happen if you do. And they still, it's, you know, people who don't learn the lesson, so to speak. And you've seen it many times throughout life.
Cigarette packets are a great illustration of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not, are they working?
No, but again, that's the addiction side of it.
No, but I'm saying that's the point. It's, they're not working.
It's a good analogy too. Yeah.
Young people are smoking.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't addicted.
Yeah.
The cigarette packet was already hideous.
Yeah.
And they picked one up and smoked it.
But look, my mum died of lung cancer, but our whole family kept on smoking for a bit. I gave up eventually, but even that wasn't enough to, but you know, there's some mitigating factors, stress, you know, nicotine's the most addictive drug known to man, fastest acting drug known to man. Yeah. By the time you drag that cigarette and it hits your brain, it's seconds. So, that's why so many people are addicted. But in saying that, coming back to that insight, that's where that change happens.
And awareness is the first step. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. And that's a really good point, because as part of that ownership, I think I touched on it earlier, I didn't think I'd have vested interest. Now I'm aware I do. So that awareness part is the first step in change.
Yeah.
And 100% ownership says, well, I wasn't aware, now I am. So not being aware doesn't mean you're not a leader. It just means you weren't aware. That's that blind spot.
Yeah.
Now I'm aware, what am I going to do with that?
Yeah. So that's probably a key
attribute
of a leader.
Yes.
You hit it on the head there.
Yes.
That's very good.
Yep. So starting with self-leadership, you know, that if anyone's listening to this and they are overweight and they want to get fit, you have awareness that you are overweight. You now have awareness that you are 100% responsible for how you are right now and what happens from this moment forward. And you now get to choose whether you're going to do anything about it or not. And only you are 100% responsible for it.
And don't feel bad about it. Don't feel bad about the situation you're in. Feel good about, you know, what you can do about it. And it's baby steps, man. Yeah? Doesn't matter if you go 10 steps forward and 2 back.
That's actually the really exciting bit.
Just
is that...
Yeah.
Being 100% responsible. Because then you can change anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's exciting. Mm-hmm. You go, you know what? I can change anything in my life. The relationships I have, to the family, to my job, to my income, to my fitness. You can change anything. That's what's exciting. When you go, I've got 100%, I'm 100% responsible for this. So you mean I can actually change it. Like, it's all me.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Now you can do anything you want. That's exciting.
And you're right. Yeah. And that's the abundance. You know, we don't create it in our lives. It's always there, and the ability to change. We just we create limitations around that.
I love that. Yeah, I love that. I love that. Nature is abundant.
But it's there.
It's our limitations that limit it. Beautiful.
Ross says that, you know, we have the ability to change it. Well, you do. So if you're stuck in your business, you're stuck doing this, you can change. You can simply change it. It's the limitations that we put around us. And when you look at it like that, it seems really simple and stupid. How stupid. But then when you dig down a bit, look inwards, you go, fuck, it's true. So I've got me to this point today. So everything I've learned's got me to here.
Yeah.
It's not like that bag I've, you know, of tricks I've got there will just, has gone away.
Yeah.
You can do anything. Mm. And that's the amazing thing.
We make it complex so we can have excuses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When we relate to it, when we go, hey, dude, it's just this simple. We kind of like, okay, well, you know, I guess I actually need to go to the gym. I'll catch you guys later.
Yeah. And entire industries are built on that.
Yeah.
The gym industry is built on the excuses. And we all know that.
The quick fix.
I don't know the stats, but there's probably more members that never turn up than members that actually do turn up.
Yeah.
And that industry makes money on the fact that people are going to pay and not turn up and depreciate their equipment.
Yeah. So it's about commitment and drive and knowing we're all human.
Yeah.
Ebbs and flows, the seasons of life.
So be the leader in your life. You know, you're leading your life right now. You're leading all the people around you. You know, now from this moment forward, you get to choose how that looks.
Great.
Awesome.
I love it. It's good.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Catch you on the next one.
Will do.